On this episode, we're going to check in with finalist Bobby to see how he's doing, revisiting a previous submission for this week's final challenge. Which fake podcast series will Bobby create a new episode for? Find out on this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm your host, Brian Ibbett. It's the final week of season two, and we're checking in on Bobby for this episode. Later on in the episode, we'll hear Bobby get coaching from Alex Albisu, who had to complete this same challenge for his season, and we'll also listen as Bobby gets one last coaching session from Tom Merritt. We'll close out the show with his last entry in the competition, but first, I got to sit down with Bobby to talk about this challenge. Here with Bobby Frankenberger. Bobby, congratulations on making it to the finals.
Oh my gosh. To what was it, 12 weeks ago when we started? I would not, something like that. I would not. I was doing what everybody else was saying at that time and thinking, you know what, if I make it past the first week, I'll be happy. And then, you know, halfway through, I'm like, well, I got into the second half. So from here on, whatever happens, I'm happy. And now in the last week, I'm like, oh my God, I better win.
now the pressure's on. It's like, all right, I'm not gonna come this far to take second place. Yeah. Now we're in the reality show spirit, man.
Yeah.
So we talked about this a little bit yesterday in chat, and I hadn't realized it, but your teams and then solo competitions have almost always been the top of the bunch when it comes to the judging and the finals, like your introductions podcast, Rules Intended was first, the Point Counterpoint. I take that back. Date Debate lost to Courts Courthouse in an upset that nobody could have seen, especially me.
Well, it's funny. I still think, I mean, I guess I have to think this, right? Like, but I still think we should have won that one.
I think so too. Actually, that was one that I was really surprised went the way it did. Yeah. With the teams, or I'm sorry, with the judges. But I mean, Science Interview, List Podcast, Daily News. You've done really, really well. So, what do you feel are the things you've kind of got to watch out for in the finals here?
Well, getting too comfortable for sure.
Good.
But I haven't the whole time. I have like the fact that I've been on the winning side for most of it has hung over me like a terrifying weight. It really has. You think like, man, this is really great, and you feel like you should feel really good about it, but it's just been like the more it happens, the more pressure I've felt, you know. Sure. But also like the more uncomfortable I get. I think in a talk with you not too long ago, maybe in this last week, I was talking about how I get uncomfortable like when I'm doing really well, I start to feel uncomfortable about that because I feel like maybe I'm getting too comfortable, you know. And I'm gonna take that for granted. But I don't know, I think this week's hard, but for a lot of reasons, which we'll probably get into before we're done here. But I think that's the biggest thing I'm trying to keep in mind is do not get too comfortable and too confident, because anything can happen. As we just talked about with Date Debate, you know, totally. You have to work your hardest because it's not just that you're trying to make the best podcast that you can, which is for sure what you're doing, but there's always that you're also trying to make the podcast that the judges are going to think is the best.
Exactly.
And it seems like
you don't want to play to the judges.
It seems like superficially like that's obvious, but it's a very important thing that you have to keep in mind as a competitor.
It totally is. Yeah, it should be secondary. I mean, you should, in podcasting, as in life, you should not work to please other people, but work to please yourself. And I think that's represented here in this competition where if you're not happy with the podcast, chances are the judges won't be, but you shouldn't put out something that you think the judges are going to be happy with if you're not happy with it first.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've tried to keep that in mind too. There have been times when we start thinking about what the judges are going to think, or start thinking about what the other teams are going to be doing and stuff like that. And I try to think what we need to do is put something out that we think is really, really good and just do the best that we can do. And just the best you can do. Like, it's a fool's errand to try to predict what other people are going to think, right? So
it absolutely is, as we have learned, as I've just shown with week
right,
two.
Right.
All right. Well, let's talk about your choice this week. Tell me which show you've decided to go back and revisit.
All right. So we've decided to do our list show.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yes. So the show was
list show. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So the show was literally called Science List Show. Mm-hmm. And we did really, really well that week. And so that's been on my mind. Like, how do I decide what show to go back and do? Right.
Right. Right.
And so one thing I thought there's a couple of different ways you could decide which show to redo, or not redo. 'Cause that's another thing. We're not redoing a show, right? We're just doing episodes.
Right. You're doing a new episode in the same series.
Right.
Exactly.
Yep. So there's a couple of different ways that we could decide which to pick. One could be pick one that you didn't do as well on, and, mm-hmm. and do a second episode to show growth, right?
Yep.
The problem with that is that the only one that I've lost, and I hate saying this, I say this over and over again, I hate saying it because I feel like I'm just bragging, but it's just the truth, right?
Sure.
The only one that I've come in last place in was the investigation week.
Right, and, cold case, yeah.
And that show, I wasn't married to that concept when we mm-hmm. when we did that. So I don't think I would feel good doing another show in that concept. So wouldn't want to do that one. So I was basically left with like, okay, all the other shows we did well with. And so how do I pick one of those? And I think after thinking about it and talking, I kind of landed on pick one that I really enjoyed doing, that I thought I did really, really well, and that not only do I think I could do well again, but also like one that I could see myself doing more of. Like, take this as an
as a future series.
Oh, yeah, cool. Like something that I really could, in line with something that I would really do after this competition was over. And in that way, maybe show the judges like, okay, this, here it is. This is me as a podcaster, mm-hmm. you know, like, because mm-hmm. this is it, right? Like, we're saying this is what we've learned and who we are, and this is our like coming of age moment or coming out moment, right? Like, and so like maybe that's how I choose it, which is to say like, okay, this is me as a podcaster, applying everything I've learned to the thing that I would do, you know?
Sure.
So.
Well, and with and I think during that during the review judging elimination episode, I think I even asked you. I said, "So would there be enough content for the Science List Show to have a new list every week?" And you chimed in right away and said, "Oh yeah, definitely." Like when you were coming up with top five ways your brain is fooling you or is lying to you, then I think you rattle off like a dozen other options. So that's great. So this sounds like not just fertile ground for this podcast or for this challenge, but also fertile ground for creating something new. The one aspect that is different this time is you don't have Kristen, but you've got Diddy, Drew, and Tyler to work with you on this. How's the dynamic of a four-person show going to change what you had with Kristen as a two-person show?
I'm only going to have one other person on mic.
You are? Okay.
Smart. Yeah. So I'm going to keep it as just a co-host, and we're all working very hard, and we're kind of in research mode right now. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I'm trying to utilize a bigger team, is to get lots of research done. And then to put our heads together and kind of like prune it down and figure out, you know, how to get the most quality meat out of it. Just more heads can be put together to kind of figure this out. It's actually different. So we've talked in past how it can be challenging to have four people, right? But I'm finding that four people right now is actually not as bad because everyone kind of has been telling me, and I guess it makes sense, everyone understands that this is I'm trying to, Bobby is trying to win right now.
Right.
And they're not competing to keep going. So there's no like butting heads, you know, it's like, let's figure out.
Oh, sure.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
totally. It's like, no, I want to be on microphone because if I'm not, the judges are totally going to ace me out and that sort of thing. Right. And yeah, that totally makes sense. Wow. That's a really interesting perspective. Do you worry that because only your place in the competition is on the line that they're not going to have the drive to work as hard as they would if they were still competing?
You know, not until you just said it.
But, no, I think if this was a more cutthroat reality show, you'd have to worry about that. But I don't think with this group, you do have to worry about that.
No, I don't. We've talked already. Don or Diddy, I know, is on the team, and him and I have worked together before. So I love that guy. And Drew and Tyler are great. So they've already, although they have already threatened to have a wild cards coup.
Well, it is three against one,
right?
They could do that. And it's funny, that's actually kind of a great thing, is that they've been staying fresh and in the competition even though they're not competing. But by doing those wild card episodes, which started up completely spontaneously and was not something that, you know, that we ever envisioned for the ex contestants in this competition, it's probably keeping them nice and fresh and still, and I don't want to say, not relevant isn't the right word, but still in tune with the speed and the tempo of this competition.
I will say that it wasn't the wild cards thing absolutely factored into my decision to pick them on my team.
Oh, really? Okay, cool. Yeah. Wow. That's great. Well, awesome. Well, it's been great talking to you. I can't wait to hear what you put together this week, and also be listening in with your chat with Alex and with Tom. You're getting a lot of coaching this week, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to need it at least to talk me down.
Right. Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Bobby.
Thank you.
Let's listen to their coaching session with Tom.
Well, first of all, congratulations on getting to the final, man. That's fantastic.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited. Despite what I might sound like right now.
It's trust me, I know how that goes. It's well earned. You've just been consistent. Like you're the Rod Carew, to make an extremely dated baseball reference. just continually getting hits. So I'm excited to hear what you've got planned for this coming challenge.
Well, so without walking through like the journey of how I came to this decision, I'll just get right to it. I've decided to go with making an episode 2 of the Science List show.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
That was one that we did really, really well on. And I wanted to try to see what I could do with that again. I had thought about, you know, possibly picking something that I didn't do well on, but that would really only, there was only one of the weeks that I just straight out lost, and I wasn't really married to that concept to begin with, so I didn't want to have to make a second episode in that. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. If you're like, I could improve that, but I'm not inspired to improve it, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And so kind of where my head is right now is, because that was throwing me for a while, like, great, now how do I show improvement with something that the judges seem to really like and didn't have a lot of criticism with? But I think where my head is right now is find little ways to do it, take all the criticisms that they had, make sure that those improvements are in there, but then also really just focus on saying, like, that wasn't an accident. I actually can do this and see if I can do it.
Yeah, it looks like I'm just looking back at the notes. Scott suggested tightening things up a little bit at the end. Are you planning on bringing in another voice with you?
Yeah, I don't have Kristen on my team this time around, and I did want I want a co-host.
So the other note from looks like that one was also from Scott, which was make sure that the energy matches between the two hosts.
Yeah, definitely. And I actually just talked to Alex yesterday, and he knows the voices of all the contestants pretty well because he talks to all of them after they've been out. And Drew is on my team, and I had been thinking about him, and that was an unsolicited suggestion from Alex as well. So I think I'm going to go with Drew for that reason. That's what we had talked about.
Good, good.
Energy level.
And you did top five ways your brain is lying to you, which was a really good topic. What topic are you thinking around this time around?
So we have been deep into research on the five ways, and this is part of what I wanted to talk to you about is a little wrinkle in this, is the five ways that you think you're saving the environment, but you're not.
Oh.
So I like that because there's a lot of opportunity for education there. There's a lot of like, oh, I didn't know that opportunity. Some like, huh, moments. Wow. Just stuff like that. It's a neat, complicated topic to kind of dig into. It's topical. I think a lot of people feel like they're doing a lot of these things. The one thing that I'm worried about, that I'm trying really, really hard to think about, and I'd like advice on, is how to make sure I'm not lecturing people. And making them feel like I'm just saying you're doing everything wrong.
You know? Well, some of the ways you can do that is to, even if it's not entirely true, admit that you do all of these things. Like, okay, I'm discovering this along with you, the audience. I thought that these replacement straws were better for the environment, but it turns out that when they biodegrade, they emit carbon dioxide. I wish someone would have told me this. Don't make the same mistake I did. Let me inform you. Like, take that attitude, and then hectoring people like, you should have known this. You're saying like, gosh, you're discovering this with me. Isn't this crazy? I'm glad we know about
it. And you know what? I was, I had been thinking that already, but something, I don't know what it was in what you just said, but something you just said sparked. I had been struggling with how am I going to do I really like the cold opens that I've done before. And this show even had a cold open in the first time. It was this just fun thing that I did. And I was like, what am I going to do this time? And I thought, what if I did like, just told a brief story about how I thought that all these things I was trying to do better, and I looked into all this stuff and realized that everything I was doing, or a lot of the things I was doing, aren't actually helping. And so I thought I'd come on here and we could share it with you guys.
Yeah, no, that's the right, you know, it's you're sitting beside me learning this along with me, right? Not I'm standing above you pointing my finger at you is a good way to do it. You could even do a little anecdote of, you know, somehow incorporating all five things. Like, I was sitting in my, you know, chair doing all five, these five things, feeling really good. And then when I looked into it, I found out, oh no, wait a minute. So don't be like me, you know, learn about these things now. I think that's a good way to do it. The other thing is to cite sources so that it's not you telling them, it's scientists at reputable, you know, university/research institution telling all of you. So present it as, you know, so-and-so from the University of Wisconsin-Madison pointed out X, Y, and Z, rather than just having it be you talking. I think that's another way to kind of bring yourself alongside the listener and make it sound less luxury. And it's just important to cite that stuff anyway.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder if we could also use the co-host as a way to soften that too. And like, if I'm saying something that's particularly like finger waggy, we can have Drew or whoever the co-host is say something like, well, that sounds like, you know, maybe it's like, well, that if I'm not able to recycle anything, what am I supposed to be doing to help, you know, like, and then be like, and then that can come in with the, don't worry, we can all, you know.
It's like, once you're getting into the, like, the problem here is, you know, you can't do this, then he can express the frustration of the listener. He can be the voice of the listener. That's pretty good too.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So that's all really good stuff.
And you're going to pretty much follow the same format you followed before, right?
Yeah, I'm going to try to go in and like put a little bit of a polish on things where I can, you know, but I'm pretty much going to stick with the format and the way it was laid out and everything.
I like the way that you would present an item and then talk it out. And I think that's one of the reasons Scott probably put a Titan thing on it, especially at the end, was it maybe felt a little too loose. So that's what if you script it out, like, even if it's just top and tail of each one, script it out a little more, maybe that's a good way to tighten it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put some production elements in.
Yeah, and I want to try to make sure that I find ways to, like, take home ideas for all of these. Why for each list item, why is this important that you're hearing this? We tried to do that with the first one too. So
if you can get other voices into it too, like not Drew, but if you can get, sound bites, interviews, anything like that, that would elevate it above the previous version as well.
Oh, that's a good point. I should look for that, because that might help with the problem we were talking about before, and give a little bit of a like external authority to what I'm saying. Yeah. It's not just me yelling.
Yeah, if you can get the professor to tell you why she thinks you shouldn't recycle anymore or whatever it is, right? Then you should. Then that's going to be useful. Obviously, there's only so much time, but whatever you can get, it would be great.
Yeah, that was one of the things that we had to struggle with. And I guess it's just, all these weeks we've been struggling with that. But it's, when you're trying to get five items, list items into 15 minutes, it can be. But it forces you to tighten it up, I guess. So.
Yep. It sure does. It focuses the mind. Yeah. And when you're talking about bites, you're talking about bites there. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's, I'm trying to think of what else I could ask you, because this is like my last minute and a half of coaching ever. So,
well, the one pitfall that we haven't talked about, we only talked about it in a sideways way, is making sure your information is right. Because as soon as you bring up climate, I mean, not just skeptics, but even people who are like, no, recycling is great, plastic straws are bad, whatever it is, there's going to be people, even in the judges, probably wanting to fight on the other side. So you really want to have it bulletproof about where you're coming from and why it's credible.
That's a really good point. Try to anticipate all of the rebuttals and at least qualify everything I'm saying if that's what makes it true,
both anticipate rebuttals and bolster your source information, so that it's like, hey, this isn't just some person on the internet saying it.
Right.
You want to have really quality sources.
Yeah. I that's good.
Don't pull from someone's Medium post.
Right.
You want to be able to say like, no, this is someone who does this and it's peer reviewed and all of that.
All right, Bobby, meet Alex. Alex Albisu was our runner-up in the first season of America's Next Top Podcaster, but he had to basically face the same final challenge that you did, and I think he's got some great advice for you. I'm sure he's able to answer any questions of things that to watch out for with the finals. So, without any further ado, I will turn it over to you and start the 15-minute timer now.
Great. Well, Bobby, how are you feeling?
You would know, anxious and nervous and feeling like, let's get this over with.
Yeah. But, I think it's important to be present in the moment right now. You're going through a heck of an experience right now. So I am here to answer whatever questions. I have some thoughts, but certainly want to let you get whatever questions you have off of your chest first. So have at it.
So I listened to season one and I remember, or maybe I don't remember, what was the thing that you went back and did another episode of?
It was, I'm actually blanking on the name of it, but it was a movie podcast that Bridget was a part of, and she was my quote unquote co-host on it. Yeah. So we ended up talking about, it's Film Firsts. There we
that's
go.
Right, jeez. That's right.
Film Firsts. And, I wanted to do that. We threw around a couple of different ideas, but that one really stuck with me because I felt like, well, first of all, I needed a little redemption after movie week and we bombed that. So
yeah.
I felt like I needed to jump back in and do something that was a bit more up my alley. And that was playing to my strength. Right. So that was an important part of it.
Yeah, one of the concerns that I have is that basically pretty much the only options I have are ones that I did well on, and I just have to do another one and do well again. And so I'm worried about how do I do that? How do I do well again, and how do I improve on it, and what kind of things do I need to be like, that's where I am. Yeah. Just, as is where do I go from there and whatnot? The one that I'm doing, have you listened to all of the stuff we've done?
Yeah, but I've just about listened to it all. There's been some stuff that I've been spotty about just because with making my own content, as you sure. know, it's just hard to keep up, but I've kind of stayed in the know.
Sure. So the one that we're doing another episode of is the Science List Show.
Yeah.
And that one,
strong choice, by the way.
Thank you. That one we did really, really well on. The judges really, really liked it. So I don't have that, you know, opportunity to be like, let's, like you were just talking about redemption, you know, to say like, okay, we're going to take something that we didn't do as well on and show exactly how much we've improved. I'm sure I can show improvement. So I'm not getting too cocky there, but the reason I picked that one is because we did well and it's something that I really enjoyed and was really passionate about. And I want to show that I can do it again, you know?
Yeah. Then, you know what, Bobby, don't even overthink it. You have a knack for this sort of thing. This list-based podcast is a great idea. What I would say is that the best thing that you can do, I was in a different position, first of all, because, you know, for me, I felt like that was a more, the movie one was certainly kind of redemption, but on the other side, I really played to a strength. It was a very similar sort of podcast to the list one, where you have certain talking points, you have to be an expert or, you know, maybe not even an expert, but certainly come to the table with confidence and knowledge in what you're going to talk about. And yeah. I think that you pulled that off really, really well in the list-based podcast. I think that what you're doing is setting yourself up for success in that case, because you know how to deliver it right. You also know, based on the feedback from the judges, what you have to improve. Mm-hmm. And it's very little. If I remember back to that show, it was maybe jury or somebody had said, like, this is a show that I would start listening to today. And if that's the case, that shows that you have a really well-baked product. And if you think back to season one, guess what Amy did? She did that's Culinary Capers.
I had not thought about that Amy did the same thing. She went back and did one that Culinary Capers they won with, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I begged and another one for her not to do that either, because I was a part of that show. I said, that's like our baby. You can't do that. And she just did it anyway, like a jerk.
Right. So that, that's another tip is double cross.
Yeah. You know how David works. And that's actually an honest thing that I was going to come to the table with is, you know, what David's strengths are, what his weaknesses are. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do to technically exploit that. And I wouldn't recommend you focus too much on this, but sure. Think about what you bring to the table that might have a leg up on that. How do you capitalize on that? Again, I wouldn't lead with that, because what you have is a natural ability to deliver a great podcast without doing that. Yeah. But if you're able to sneak in a little bit of areas where Bobby shines at this thing, maybe a little bit better than David does, that is a great opportunity.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about it from that angle. And I guess the Science List Show that's another reason to go with that one, is because I've been, especially Scott has said time and time again, that I have a strong hosting presence and voice. And so that's that type of show is an opportunity to be a host rather than just narrating or just doing, you know, something else.
I would agree. And I would agree with Scott's statement, and I would agree with your thinking there. My one concern, and I agreed with Scott's, I think it was Scott that said something about you have to have not just a mic parody sort of situation. Like, I think Kristen's mic was maybe a little weak, but you have to have an energy parody there as well.
Yeah.
So what I would recommend you do is think hard about who it is from your team that you bring on as a co-host, if that is what you do. Yeah. You certainly don't have to. Well, I think that you have you have the vocal presence to be able to handle it yourself, but I would recommend you bring somebody on. Mm-hmm. But think about how they would match your energy. I can who's on your team?
We've got Tyler, Drew, and Don, or Diddy.
Okay. Diddy. Yeah. Oh yeah. And I would say out of those, Drew matches your vocal performance very well. And that would be my guidance.
Okay.
Unless you feel like maybe that wouldn't be the same or a good match there. I say that just from, if I were in your shoes, that's how I would approach a co-host situation, because you have somebody that brings similar energy. He's got good mic presence and he has a good mic, and it feels like his connection was good. I've interviewed him on the Dad Chronicle, mm-hmm. and his whole performance there, you know, everything was good. Right. That's like good. It was a
that good makes me feel really good to hear, because that's the way we were leaning is Drew, and it wasn't for those reasons, but that makes me feel good about that decision. So
yeah. Now tell me about, what are you gonna make a list of?
We got really excited. We met really quickly last night after judging to go over some ideas, and I think we all got excited when we came up with the idea of, hold on, I have five is just a placeholder number, but for the purposes of like the title of what the list would be, five ways you think you're saving the environment, but you're not.
Okay. I like it. Do you think, and I'm asking this without trying to sway you one way or the other.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it as powerful? You talked about the brain last time, right?
Yes.
So is this as powerful of a force as, you know, like the brain? We all have one. We constantly, I don't know about you, like I constantly think about things like dementia because I see it on my wife's side of the family, and you know in older folks on my side of the family as well. That's a very relatable topic to me. I think the topic of recycling and mm-hmm. some of that sort of stuff is a powerful one. Do you feel like it's at that same level?
I think so. I think one of the reasons that it resonates so well with me is because for a few reasons. One is that it's topical. And it's also something that people feel very strongly about. I think regardless of what their actual habits are, most people tend to agree when you remove politics from it and everything. I think most people tend to agree that like not destroying the environment is a good thing. How you go about that is a different thing, but there are definitely common things that people sort of take for granted that you should do, which aren't necessarily actually doing any good or might be harming things when they don't realize it, which kind of creates that sort of like, huh, I didn't realize, you know, like that kind of moment. And one of the goals I had with the Science List show when we did it the first time was, I told Kristen this a bunch, was we need to focus on educating people. Like that needs to be part of the goal. And I think there's a lot of room for education here about like how, like you just said, if what's really going on with recycling, like where's the actual, what's the actual carbon footprint, or LED light bulbs, do those actually do anything? Or one thing we're wanting to make sure we do as I say this, I'm remembering, is that we don't want to feel like we're talking down to people. We want to also provide that opposite, like here's what you might be doing wrong. But we don't want to frame it that way. That's my point, is we don't want to frame it as this is what you're doing wrong. We want to frame it as, did you realize this? And if you want to help the environment, maybe this is the way you, like, these are the things that actually work, you know, and have that opposite. Don't want to, that's my point, I guess, is that I don't want to feel like I'm shaking my finger at people.
Well, I would say that you didn't come off that way to begin with. If you find that, if you're able to tap into that same spirit and that same energy that you were able to deliver on the previous episode that you did, I would say you'd be just fine. The way that I would recommend approaching this differently, because, you know, you want to think, how do I perhaps add a new little flair? Mm-hmm. Find the most profound different things that you can really tap into for each of these topics that keeps it super relatable all at the same time. So what I mean by that is, like, an immediate takeaway from, you know, some of these lessons learned that would spark somebody listening to it to say, huh, I need to go and shift my thinking around recycling cans because they might cause cancer in whales or something. I don't know. But that's kind of the thinking that I would recommend you have. What is the immediate tangible takeaway from this list if you are trying to come at it from an educational standpoint? Because that kind of profound takeaway will help diminish any sort of feeling of talking down. It's like, okay, duh, I'm supposed to cut the rings, you know, before I, throw that in the trash. That's the way I would recommend approaching that.
That's good. Yeah. And that, I always try to approach it with some empathy too. Like I try to put myself in the listener's shoes, like when I'm, you know, scripting things out, because we're all in this, like all these things that I'm going to talk about, and maybe I need to make sure that I say this somehow, but all these things that I'm going to be talking about on this list are things that I do anyway, like in terms of the things that I'm doing that don't actually do anything, you know, like I'm committing these errors as well. So,
yeah. Well, and that's something that you have going for you, because this is an immediate, like, this is just a natural ability for you as a podcaster, and everything that I've heard from you on the show, you have the chops to be able to deliver on this show and win first place. And I need you to do that, because I need to stick it to Amy, by the way. So, but I would say that you have full ability to do this. Don't get in your own head, but I would say, think about how little ways that you can level it up. Yeah. And again, I say little ways, again, thinking about the profound piece. Also think about those little editing things that you can kind of, where can you snip out those little awkward pauses? How can you make the conversation continue to flow in an organic way? Re-edit things if you need, you know, those are re-record things so you can edit, you know what I mean? That's what's going to get you the win at this point, because I truly think that you have a winning idea here.
Awesome. I certainly hope so.
but you know, we'll see. He's a good one too. You guys are all good. So I would say just lean with your gut here, because you again have the makings for all the right pieces for this winning podcast.
Yeah, so, definitely can't let my guard down with David. David's really, really good. So,
yep.
And I'm glad for that. I think you said the same thing last year. Like, it was, you want to be up against someone who's going to push you to be your best, you know?
Yeah. And Amy was that person for me. It sounds like David's that person for you, because, you know, Amy and I were kind of kindred spirits in this thing. We were on, just like you and David, we were on the same original team, and then we were facing it, you know, we were facing each other at the end of it all. So it's very interesting how all that works out. So, I see we're getting time warnings. So, just, you know, keep your head on straight and, think about those little ways that you can kind of tweak and collaborate as best as you can. Bring the strengths from your team into this to help you succeed, just like we talked about, maybe having Drew as your co-host, and you got it.
And that's time. Perfect.
Look at
like
you.
Almost like you're a pro at this.
You know, I've done it a couple times.
Very good.
So you just pulled into the doctor's office in your fully electric car, walked into the lobby sipping coffee from a cup made with recycled paper, and you are feeling good about your sustainable efforts to save the environment. When you look down at the coffee table and see a magazine article that claims that reusable shopping bags are a sham and your sustainable shoes are actually hurting the environment, what is going on? Well, don't worry. Today, we're going to help you navigate the truth by giving you the details on the 5 ways you think you're saving the environment, but you're probably not. It's the Science List Show. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Science! Welcome to the Science List Show. I'm your host, Bobby Frankenberger, and here with me, we've got, as usual, my environmentally friendly co-host made from 100% recycled rubber, Drew Burris. How's it going, Drew?
Pretty good, Bobby. And if I'm rubber, our listeners are glue, everything you say is going to bounce off of me and stick to them.
That story at the top of the show, Drew, that I said actually happened to me. And after that, I decided to try and start figuring out what is it that I can actually do to help the environment, since apparently the things I'm doing now aren't working.
Please tell me that you compiled a list so that we can all stay informed together.
Of course I did, Drew. So let's get to it.
Number 1.
Biofuels. So you may have heard a lot about biofuels like ethanol and how it's better and cleaner and we should be putting it in our cars instead of gasoline, right? When we talk about biofuels, we're talking about plants or biomass like corn or soybeans that have been turned into fuel for engines. Now, this is different from typical fossil fuels that are extracted from deep in the earth, like petroleum and natural gas. You probably heard of like bioethanol and biodiesel. Those are biofuels. So why is it that people think that biofuels are good for the environment?
Well, when fuel is burned in your car, it releases carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, and that influences the environment. It contributes to climate change. But since biofuels are made from plants, and those plants can absorb that CO2 back out of the air, it helps offset the impact of your car's emissions. So the main argument is that biofuels are carbon neutral.
Well, the problem is that using the land, simply using the land to grow the crops we turn into biofuels, causes extra CO2 to be released into the atmosphere all by itself before you even burn the biomass. Imagine you've got a big rainforest tree and it's absorbing and storing a ton of carbon. And then you replace that tree with a much smaller stalk of corn. You cut the tree down and put a stalk of corn in there instead. That stalk of corn now absorbs much less than that tree did. And now all that extra carbon that was in the tree is in the environment. So the simple fact that forests, rainforests, and grasslands, they all have to be cleared to create the farms, that process actually adds net carbon to the atmosphere.
There was actually a study by a Cornell professor named David Pimentel in 2001 and found that if all of the automobiles in the U.S. were to be fueled with 100% ethanol fuel, it would take 97% of the landmass of the U.S. to be available to grow the corn feedstock to make that fuel.
Oh my gosh. That is, there would be no land left, Drew. That's not we shouldn't do that.
We'll live on the sea.
Right. Well, fortunately, there is an upside of biofuels, and that's that they're a renewable resource. It's just that a lot more research needs to be done to make biofuels more efficient to produce and to avoid having to clear-cut forests. Some advances are being made. Research into algae as a biofuel is being done, which would be great because algae can be grown like underground and in buildings without having to mess with trees. There's also research into plants like elephant grass, which can grow in all sorts of crappy conditions where we don't have to cut down trees. And speaking of elephant grass, research is being done to create elephant grasses that actually suck extra carbon out of the atmosphere and are better than carbon neutral because they store it into the soil and not in the plant itself.
Number two,
electric cars.
Well, if my car is going to create harmful emissions no matter what fuel it burns, I'll just go out and get an electric car that has no emissions. Problem solved, right?
Well, yeah, so you would think so. That seems to make intuitive sense, right? But the main problem with electric cars comes down to how they store their energy, which is in batteries. So the manufacturing of those batteries for electric cars and the fact that you have to mine for those rare components like lithium and cobalt and nickel, that causes a lot of greenhouse gas emissions.
And additionally, most electric vehicles are charged by plugging it into your local electrical grid. And in the U.S., that's still primarily powered by fossil fuels like coal or natural gas that are still putting out carbon into the atmosphere.
Right. So that's sort of like a double whammy there. But don't worry, it's not all doom and gloom. Electric grids all over the country are still, at least in small part, being powered by clean sources like nuclear or hydropower. And so that means that even if it's a tiny difference, powering an electric vehicle off the grid by plugging it in is a little bit less polluting than fueling a gasoline car. In fact, there was a report that was published back in 2011 by the Low Carbon Vehicle Partnership that looked at the environmental impact of electric vehicles over the full lifetime that they could spend on the road. And what they found was interesting. They found that since the primary source of emissions from electric cars comes from the manufacturing of the battery, like we already said, the longer the vehicle is on the road, getting its fuel from the grid, the better performance it's going to have in terms of emissions. As long as you keep driving it, you could do some good in the long term with electric cars.
Number three,
reusable shopping bags.
Single-use plastic bags are a menace. They're ending up in landfills, they're being incinerated, and they're clogging up local recycling center machinery. So we should all switch to reusable grocery bags, right?
Well, yeah, so it's true, right, that plastic bags are made from fossil fuels that are toxic to the environment. And because of this, shoppers are turning to reusable bags as alternatives. But there are some real hard truths about these options that we have got to come to terms with. So the fact is that for a plastic bag to be reusable, it has to be made with more plastic, meaning that it has a greater environmental impact than a single-use plastic bag. So it all comes down to how many times do you need to reuse these bags in order to offset the impact of manufacturing them when you're comparing them to a single-use plastic bag, right? So there was a study done in 2018 by the Ministry of Environment and Food in Denmark that looked into exactly that question. So Drew, give us the numbers.
So these plastic bags, these reusable plastic bags, need to be reused generally between 35 to 85 times to offset their impact.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot.
It does sound like a lot, but let's look at some of the alternatives because there aren't just plastic-based bags out there. A lot of people have turned to cotton-based reusable bags.
Right.
Cotton's a plant. It grows out of the ground. It's more natural. It's renewable, and it doesn't take any fossil fuels to create. Mm-hmm. But it does take land, and it takes water. Cotton's a very thirsty plant. A cotton-based reusable bag takes 7,500 reuses.
Oh, wow. That, I was not expecting that.
It's a lot.
Wow. Okay. So I think the takeaway for me is that when we go to the grocery store, I am insisting on no bags now, at least when I have a small number of items that I can carry in my hands. If I do need bags, I'm filling those suckers to the brim. No more putting like three different items in three different grocery bags.
And most importantly here, if you've already invested in a reusable grocery bag, make sure you're actually using it. Don't listen to us saying that it's bad for the environment and throw it in the trash. Actually right. Take it to the grocery store. Pass it around to your friends. Give it to family members. Give it to your children and your grandchildren and your grandchildren's grandchildren. Because if we're not reusing these bags, then we're not getting any of the benefit for out of them at all.
Number four,
organic farming.
Well, while I'm doing my grocery shopping, I should load my cart with organic products. Those are certainly better for the environment. They're organic.
Right. Well, first thing we need to do is talk about what exactly is organic farming before we can dig into this. Well, the International Federation of Organic Agriculture Movements, they define organic farming as sustainable farming methods which, with rare exception, prohibit the use of synthetic pesticides and fertilizers, antibiotics, growth hormones, and genetically modified organisms, or GMOs. So, given that, why is it that people think that organic farming is so good for the environment?
Well, right there, way fewer chemicals and other artificial components being put into the environment, being put into our foods that we take into our bodies, and reduced pollution because all the stuff that they're doing is more natural.
Right. So, yeah, reduced pollution, that's a really good thing. So where exactly is the problem, right? Well, the problem is that with organic farming methods, they're less efficient. So the yields are smaller, requires more land, and it requires more water. Let's start with the more land issue. So this is similar to the main issue we had with biofuels called indirect land use change. Because organic farming needs more land, you have to clear more forests, which ends up releasing more CO2 into the atmosphere. And that is, of course, a problem. The other issue was with the smaller yields. Well, organic farming produces a smaller harvest per acre, especially when you compare it to standard farming methods. Now, that means to produce the same amount of food, you need more land. In fact, in a 2012 analysis done at Oxford, it showed that organic farming requires 84% more land for an equivalent harvest. That's quite a lot. So unless we're creating more land to farm by cutting down trees, which, as we have said, is problematic in its own right, then we're going to be producing less food on the land that we already have in a world where population is growing. And quite frankly, we already need more food. So people going to starve, Drew.
Well, we need to understand that organic farming, while it is more environmentally friendly in one capacity, it is not environmentally friendly in this other capacity. This is a common misconception because of how these products are marketed and advertised. So the more we buy, the more farmers are going to feel this economic pressure to use organic farming methods to sell us this food. So when we buy organic, let's try to buy from local sources like farmers markets or community gardens whose yields are less dependent on mass market sales.
Number five,
recycling.
Trash night. Better make sure I recycle as much of this stuff as possible because that's what's best for the environment, right?
Well, interestingly enough, and I know this is going to come to a shock because I've been raining on your parade the whole time, but it actually is. Generally speaking, recycling things like aluminum and plastic and paper and glass, it uses less energy than creating those things from raw materials.
Exactly. Glass takes 21% less energy to recycle it than to create it new. Newsprint, 45% less energy. Plastics take 76% less energy. And aluminum takes a whopping 96% less energy to recycle and reuse it than to mine it and create new.
Right. So recycling is great. We already knew that, right? Why are we even talking about it on this list? Well, the reason is because the reality of what happens to the things we put in the recycling bin is often quite different than what we think is happening. The problem comes from whenever recyclables aren't properly sorted. Depending on your local facilities and how they operate, it can sometimes contaminate an entire batch of recyclables if you don't sort it properly. So we're talking about not properly sorting out your plastics, not separating your colored glass. If you don't have clean paper free of plastic films, like coffee cups with plastic inner linings or those envelopes with plastic windows, or even having food waste in your pizza boxes.
Even if you've gone to the trouble of sorting all your recycling properly and you throw it into a plastic garbage bag to make it easier to take to the curb, that can sometimes contaminate and cause that whole lot to be thrown out, undoing all of your work. Because ultimately, many recycling centers in the U.S. just don't have the manpower or the technology to separate stuff out for you. And they just have to get rid of it instead of actually doing anything with it.
Right. And when they get rid of it, it's either burned or landfilled or shipped off to other countries like Malaysia to become their polluting problem. And it's essentially treated like trash when it gets contaminated. It would have been better actually to throw it in the trash to begin with so that it wouldn't have to be transported around and handled by extra trucks on the road and machinery at the facilities that all use fossil fuels to operate.
Look up, understand, and follow the rules set up by your local recycling operations. Nearly every recycling operation in the United States has all of their regulations, what they will take and won't take, and how they take it online. And in some states, like California, they actually have an entire statewide database of how that works.
And when in doubt, just throw it out. I know that sounds strange, but unless you're absolutely sure that it can be recycled, you might be doing more harm than good. Well, that's it. The five ways you are trying to help the environment, but maybe you aren't as much as you think you are. One of the main takeaways I want to leave everyone with is that it isn't your fault. And it's also not all hopeless. Almost all of the things that we mentioned here have at least a small benefit if done properly. It's just this stuff is complicated. The environment, it's complicated. The economy, it's complicated. And when you start mixing economics into the monumental task of saving the environment, I mean, wow. So sometimes an action that seems to intuitively give us a benefit has unforeseen downstream effects that lead to unintended consequences. Like who would have thought that throwing your Starbucks cup into the recycling bin would mean that an entire bag of trash would end up in someone's backyard in Malaysia? Saving the environment is going to take a multifaceted approach from the consumer level through industry and all the way up to government. So if you really want to help, you got to write your congressperson, vote with your dollar, and most of all, stay informed. There are things that we can do. We just have to do the right ones. That's going to be it for the show. We'll see you next week on the Science List Show, where we're going to talk about the five cold remedies on the pharmacy shelf that are literally doing nothing for you. You're not going to want to miss that one. So thank you for listening. And until next time, I'm your host, Bobby.
And I'm Drew.
And this is the Science List Show.
That was the Science List Show, Bobby's entry for the last challenge. Our next episode is the judging and elimination finals, where we'll crown a winner for the season. Will it be David or will it be Bobby? Find out on the very next episode of America's Next Top Podcaster.